Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Sports Grill with 7 great locations. Check out the Bird Road and Miami Lakes locations. Sports Grill is the home to the legendary Sports Grilled Wings, and catch our Dolphins pre- and post-game shows at the Miami Lakes and Bird Road locations for the 2021 season.
Two parts fandom, okay? And it probably sucks. I just want you to know, because mine sucks. A lot of you suck out there, obviously, according to the guy with two first names. So, a guy asked me here because I mentioned, are you a Gorillaz fan? Right? They're pretty cool. I like them. I think they're groovy. They only have they've announced 14 dates worldwide.
Okay.
We have one of them. So, a guy sends me a text and says, hey, I want to go to Gorillaz, but it's the same night as Dolphins Steelers. So I go to him, dude, record the game, go to the concert. You'll enjoy both. Your life will be the same. Don't worry about it. A few years back, you remember the Notre Dame-Miami game?
Which one?
Notre Dame-Miami.
The recent one.
Okay. I know we're old and we're thinking like real Notre Dame-Miami games. No, not the real
ones.
The fluff one of a couple of years ago.
Okay, yes.
That night, I remember I was going to Buckingham and McVie. That they came out with an album and then they were going to Hard Rock. And I go, dude, I'm not missing those two because I've seen all versions of Fleetwood Mac. I've seen the solo Lindsay, the solo Stevie, and now I get to see Buckingham and McVie together. I'm like, oh, dude, I got to see this. Mm-hmm. I'll record the UM, which was a memorable game and all that, but I watched it when I got home. My God, I was able to see everything, dude, with the DVR. It's a beautiful thing. Anyway, so some guy with two first names gets on there and says, we're bad fans. If you don't watch the game live, it's just not worth it already. It's just not the same anymore. And to me, it's like, you know, I had to have some fun with that because I find that to be utterly ridiculous because you can't record the concert. Okay, okay. Dude, you can record, you know, you're going to have a wedding during the same game of a game. You're going to have to go to your kid's graduation or something during a game. You're always going to have some conflict at one point or another in life. So what do you think of the person that tells you You're not a good fan if you don't see it live and you've got to sacrifice it for everything else?
Now, I'm curious. Do I know that person with two first names?
No. It's just the listener there that just...
Okay.
I'm just having fun. The guy has two first names, so I just like...
Yeah, no. And I think I said this before on your show, actually. The one, like one of the handful of Dolphin games I haven't seen live in 33 years was because I went to see a Rush concert at Coral Sky Amphitheater, whatever it's called these days, but I think it was Coral Sky back in the day. Dude, they play 16 games a year, and you're watching the game is not going to affect the outcome. Spoiler alert. So,
right.
Yeah. It's, right. Okay, it's okay for there to be other things than the one game that week. That's perfectly okay.
Yeah. What tour was it, by the way?
It was 1996. I don't know. I have no idea what tour.
Okay. All right.
December 1996, the Dolphins were playing the Giants. And they lost, I think, maybe 1914, I want to say.
Right.
But it was that year.
Why am I thinking, what's that? God, now I'm brain farting. But I think I know which is the album, actually. That, why am I thinking something Red or something? Not Red Barrichetta.
Yeah,
let me see.
I'm not a huge enough Rush fan that I remember. This was with a lady I was frequenting at the time. I think she may have been the one who had the ticket.
As for Echo Tour.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're told.
That might have been your, well, that's 96.
There you go.
That's it. There you go.
Cold as hell, that I remember. It was unpleasantly cold. That's what I remember the most about the concert, to be honest with you.
Where was this concert at?
Coral Sky Amphitheater, whatever name it went by those days.
And wow, it was that. Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was unpleasantly cold.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, all right, good stuff. All right, let's get to a little Dolphins. What'd you think of the Melvin Ingram signing?
Love it. Absolutely love it. and we had discussed it before. This is a guy, they kicked the tires on the guy for a while now, even last year before he signed with the Steelers. This year they brought him in. I don't remember when it was, about a month ago. So you always knew it was out there. And look, I don't care what his numbers said last year. I know I saw him in the playoffs, and you could feel him big time. I mean, he was affecting the game, and that's what you want from an edge defender, pass rusher, even if the sacks aren't there. And there are guys who will collect sacks who don't necessarily affect the game as much as somebody who, again, is always rushing the quarterback, hurrying his throws and stuff like that. So, no, I think it's an excellent pickup. I don't know. I haven't seen dollar amount on it. I can't imagine it's a huge amount.
It's not any kind of money.
What I would imagine.
Nobody is signing for the kind of money now that is going to cripple your cap. Let's put it that way. Even if J.C. Tretter signs, it will be a contract that they can easily get out of and will not have a cap hit next year of any kind of significance.
Correct. No, and you're figuring them sign for 1 year or so.
Right.
No, it's a very, very solid move, and it adds, again, more depth to that defense, another quality player to what has the potential of being a very good defense. So there's nothing not to like about this move. I can't imagine anybody would have any issue whatsoever with this move.
Yeah, I almost got the feeling last year, because I don't think they really used him as much, I almost got the feeling that Kansas City was getting him more for somebody else not to get him as they were trying to make a run for a championship, because I don't even know if they used him as much as they could have actually last year. You know what I'm saying? So I almost felt like it was a luxury signing in the first place for them last year. As for Miami, I actually think they can use him in the rotation and keep everybody a little fresher too.
Correct. No, he's a rotation guy. I honestly can't speak to that. I don't remember. I haven't checked his snap percentage stat. I do remember that I noticed him big time in the playoffs. That really stood out to me, and I was like, damn, that dude can still play. So no, again, there's a very good pickup. And if it turns out that he's run out of gas at some point, again, it's not a major investment they made. So I don't see how anybody cannot like this move.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. All right, what'd you think of the Tretter stuff that's being talked about? That maybe there's some buzz going on, but some people also think that he may not sign here because of the heat and humidity and all that other stuff. So what the hell are we hearing here when it comes to that?
He might not sign here because of the heat and humidity. I have never.
Somebody put out that the heat and humidity of South Florida is not his favorite thing to be working out in.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Was that a reputable source?
I don't know. Somebody sent that in. I don't even know if that's a reputable source or not.
No,
I have no idea.
What I was told about Tretter, and which would jibe with him not signing right away, is, again, he's had some knee issues, and he doesn't need the wear and tear of working through the offseason program if he doesn't have to. And he doesn't really have to, because he's an established veteran. So why would he be in a hurry to sign? There'll still be a demand for him, I would imagine, before the start of training camp. So which is when I think a move with him would be done, whether it's with the Dolphins, whether it's somebody else. And my expectation remains that the Dolphins are going to get a feel for what they have at center, if they can get by with what's currently on the roster, whether it be Michael Dieter, whether it be Connor Williams making the switch from left guard, and then decide, okay, we're fine with what we have, or no, let's make a move for Tretter.
I love that they're doing the joint practices again. They're going to do it with Tampa. Obviously, they play them in the preseason, so that's a beautiful thing that they're going to do that once again. Your thoughts on that? Because to me, that becomes more productive than anything else you do pretty much throughout training camp.
Yeah, no question. And I wouldn't be surprised in the least. In fact, I would expect it. And I'm told it's actually been discussed about doing joint practices with the Raiders as well. That's the second season game, August 20th. And look at it this way.
Wait a minute. Where is that game?
That game is here at Hard Rock Stadium.
Sean. I thought we had another excuse to go to Vegas. Sorry,
trust
Sean.
Me, I thought about that too, because I will go travel for the joint practices. Not two of their three preseason games. No, get this stat that I dug up.
And in Vegas, joints are legal too. I'm sorry. Go. I'm sorry.
We digress. Sorry, joint practice. Yeah, it's good that joint practices are legal. No, check out this stat. This is the first time since 2001, 21 years, the Dolphins have faced a team in the preseason that's more than a time zone away. So normally,
That's right, because they play in the, they usually play right in their southeast corridor.
It's Tampa Bay, it's New Orleans, it's Atlanta, it's
Carolina, maybe Dallas, maybe Tennessee has been snuck in once in a blue moon or something like that. But God, it's always the southeast corridor, bro. So always, you're right about that.
Holy and shit. I can't imagine the Raiders wouldn't want.
Yeah, they can't be happy with that, right? Yeah, because the Dolphins don't care in this case because you're coming to us. But for the Raiders, that's got to suck, dude.
Well, this is why I was told it's in the works. Even before that, it's made all the sense in the world for the Raiders and Dolphins to practice together. I mean, partly justify their trip.
Right. Yeah. So they could come down extra days, hang out all week. Definitely. Okay. All right.
And as far as fully, now,
is there an agreement to keep all Raiders away from automobiles during the week?
Why am I not surprised you're going there?
I'm sorry, bro. I saw a plane on fire on a bridge over the weekend. I don't need to see any more Raiders lighting people on fire. So I'm just saying, bro, you know, they have an issue there with DUIs and stuff. You know, I'm just saying we got to, you know, negotiate.
Can never be too careful.
Uber drivers for all. Lyft drivers for maybe we'll call it the Uber week matchup or something. And,
Uber
you know,
ball.
You
can get Uber, ball. To be a,
yeah, Uber ball of the, yeah, you know, Uber and ball. Sponsor and. They could drive Raider players around since Raider players can't drive themselves. So your thoughts on the transaction of Ty Clary, who failed the physical, and Cole Benoit, who was replaced by him, a journeyman. Do you know anything about Cole?
Well, he wasn't totally a journey. I mean, he's been in the league 1 year. UDFA last year, bounced around two practice squads. My understanding, he was actually not a bad prospect coming out of Iowa, not necessarily like a starter type, but the type who could make a roster and could contribute as a backup. Again, UDFA player, let's tamper down enthusiasm for any of those guys. I have a bunch of Twitter followers who are telling me Zaquandre White's going to be a complete stud on this team, on this offense. And to me, if he makes a 53-man roster, that'll be a major accomplishment. So, it's disappointing for Ty Clary. I mean, it's a guy who came in. This was one actually guy who had center experience.
But again, I don't have a lot of options at center. And that's like, okay, well, that was a little depth to see if that kid has anything in him. This kid's strictly a left and right guard, apparently, right?
No, correct. But again, Ty Clary was a long shot to make the roster by definition because he's a UDFA. And that applies to any UDFA, no matter how promising, no matter, regardless of whether they were supposed to get drafted. And that applies to Verone McKinley, the safety from Oregon, who was a big-time playmaker in college, whether it's Kellen Deesh, the tackle from Arizona State, who a lot of scouts and draft analysts liked a lot enough to say that maybe he goes in the fourth or fifth round. There's a reason they went undrafted. And again, if the Dolphins don't necessarily have a whole lot of openings on there, that 53-man roster, if you're going to start to look at it now, not a whole lot of room. So those UDFAs are going to have to be pretty good, pretty fast to make an impression and convince the coaches that they need to be put on the 53.
How good of a job has the front office done this year?
In your eyes? No, they have.
Because you grade it right down the line the way you see it. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm a tough grader, and I think they have
very.
They have basically filled out everywhere, upgraded. I don't know that there's a mini position. Is there a position on the roster that you would say is not as good as it was last year? I don't think so.
Oh no, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. It's not like they've taken a step back anywhere. They have tried to improve every area that they possibly can.
Yeah, if you want to get
center's the only one you can want to add depth if you want on that one, or challenge or something. That's about it.
Correct, and maybe a proven inside linebacker, but you got Channing Tindall in there. Maybe
and Roberts is a proven inside. I know he's more of a first and second down guy. Yeah.
Well, no, they flushed out the roster very well. They have set themselves up to be able to have a successful season if guys perform the way they're expected to perform.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, what are you working on at Sports Illustrated so folks can check you out and bookmark that page?
Yeah, a couple of things. One of my writers is going to do an analysis on Melvin Ingram and what he can bring to, you know, continue developing that story. I'm going to do something looking at some financial issues regarding the Dolphins, including the money allocated where. And then also I'm going to update the ranking, the offseason moves, and see where we're going to fit Melvin Ingram in there. And I think I'm going to put him fairly near the top, not necessarily at the top, but he'll be in the top half. Definitely.
The Dolphins have enough money that somebody will get rewarded here this season with a extension. Who is that going to be?
If we're talking this, if we're talking during the season.
In the second half of the season, okay. I believe somebody is getting an extension.
Off the top of my head, the guy who jumps out is Christian Wilkins, because he's headed into his fourth year. If Tua balls out, he'll definitely be a candidate for an extension next offseason. He can't get
still one more year. Still one more year. There's no hurry.
He can't get one during the season, but if he balls out, then his contract will be revisited next offseason. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Christian Wilkins is the one who really jumps out. I mean, I know they just give him the exercise option.
Wilkins, Needham, and then Gesicki.
I'd be surprised to see Gesicki get a long-term deal.
Again, we're three quarters of the season.
No, I understand.
He's a monster. He blew up. He fits perfect. Extension. Nick Needham blows up, has a great year, boom, extension. Christian Wilkins blows up, builds on what he's already done, actually, because he took another step forward last year. Yeah. He blows up and continues. I just think it's that order is what I'm saying. I'm with you. I'm Wilkins first, Needham second, then Gesicki would be my third guy. Anybody else? Are we missing anybody else?
Of those three, I have the same order that you. That's scary, actually. But I have the same pecking order that you do. Anybody else?
The other guys are down the line. Tua's down the line. Holland's down the line. Baker, they gave him his deal. I don't know. I don't know anybody else, dude.
Raekwon Davis. He has to the next offseason.
I'll give you one. I got one for you. I got one for you. Michael freaking Dieter, bro.
There you go.
If Michael Dieter balls out this year and all of a sudden grows up at center and three quarters of the year in, the guy's dominating, they have no, he's number one. He's number one.
Okay.
If he balls out, is what I'm saying. Right. Remember, all of these four guys we just mentioned, they must force this contract.
Correct.
Is what I'm saying, right? So there you go. So Dieter would be the other guy as a wild card that we're not even thinking of, because we're all replacing him every time.
No, correct. And because right now what we see him at, to me, is like at best solid, serviceable. Projecting like stud. And
everybody wants Treader, bro. Everybody keeps saying Treader. So that's what I'm just saying. Like Dieter comes in all of a sudden and tells everybody, hey, F you all. I'm here to dominate. I'm taking over. Three quarters of the year in, the Dolphins are going to go, holy shit, we better sign this guy right now, because if not, we're going to lose him.
Works for me. Yeah. That'd be a best case scenario, actually.
Yeah. No, that would be an amazing scenario for the Dolphins. But there you go. All right. So there's an article for you.
There you go.
How about that?
How about that?
All right. Follow him on Twitter at PoopardNFL. Oh, by the way, the NHL, bro.
Very disappointing.
Know your place, man.
Very disappointing.
Know your place, bro. Know your place, bro. You're not the NBA. You're not the NFL. You're number one team, the team that won the President's Cup. And you have put the, and the only team you have that has an NBA conflict. You have all your other teams are not involved in the NBA playoffs. This is how you screw your showcase team basically by putting them up against the NBA every night. Dude, NHL, know your place, dude. Learn how to promote your damn sport, man. God, I mean, could you be that dense to not really know and understand that? That's crazy by this league. It really is.
No, yeah, it's a shame. It's a complete shame. Because they lose out on the casual sports fan who wants to support the South Florida teams because they're going to watch the Heat, not the Panthers.
Dude, we have tickets left over for the damn Panthers. Do you know why? Because you're selling tickets for the same night for the Heat, bro. We're South Florida. We're not there yet. We're not New York and Chicago. We're not those kind of towns that our teams have been here for 80 years and they're entrenched and your Islander fans are your Islander fans and your Ranger fans are your Ranger fans. And if there happens to be a conflict, you have the people to fill both of those arenas. We're not that freaking town. Why do you put up the Panthers against the best franchise in town, the freaking Heat? Just NHL, dude. Figure it out, brother. God bless, man. Just sad. That's another article for you.
Should be a great series.
You won't write that one. Don't write that one.
No, I won't write that one.
NHL.com won't want that one, my buddy.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear that one. Nope. All right. Follow him on Twitter at PooPartNFL and catch his work there at Sports Illustrated covering the Miami Dolphins wall to wall. Alan, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
You got it. Speak to you on Thursday.
You got it. There you go. Sports Grill, baby. All right, all right, all right, all right. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, that is Alan Poupart. How you feeling, my man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. Where you at, Panthers?
I am in the Panther at the FLA Live Arena dining room.
Okay. Did they serve you breakfast?
They did not serve us breakfast, but this is where I'll be having dinner this evening prior to game two of the Panther Lightning series.
How is the media dinner over there now?
It's solid.
Solid?
Yeah. No, this is different than what they serve in the press box upstairs, mind you. This is like a meal. This is like a full meal with a salad bar. And
nice. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're going special. I like it. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, Viola and Sifu, they have proven to be class owners. From day one, that's for damn sure. How impressed have you been with their commitment, right? Because you think about this, it reminds me a lot of the Marlins. You're kind of a redheaded stepchild. You're not pro football. You're not UM, and you're not the Heat. Those are the dogs in this town. We know that, but we've been waiting for Marlin ownership to make a real commitment, right? And in order for you to make a commitment in those kind of sports, which are kind of almost niche sports as it is, you've got to hope that you can get that return, right? And Viola and Sifu have been all in, and where Marlins management hasn't even come close. I mean, yep. You got to give them a lot of credit for the dedication that they have shown to really building a real franchise here in hockey.
No, props to them for spending to the cap or close to the cap and not like just doing bare bones.
Right.
You know, like some other professional sports franchises I've done through the years. So the Panthers have assembled a really, really good roster. And part of it has been the willingness to spend the money to get that done. So, yeah, props to them. Absolutely.
Is it and I've been talking about this. Is this legacy moments now for Barkov and Hubert Obro? Because, you know, we need them, man. We need the stars to be stars. So how do you look at it?
No, it is. And if the series goes south, really south, and I hate to think that way, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if the series were to go really south at some point, you're going to have to have some really major self-reflection and ask yourself, is this team built the right way to make a deep playoff run? Because again, the playoff hockey is different than regular season hockey. Amen. You don't have the kind of space you have, the time and space that you have in the regular season. It happened a couple of times. If you remember the Duclair goal on Tuesday night, for some reason unbeknownst to me, the Tampa defender decided to let Jonathan Huberdeau camp out near the boards with the puck. You give Huberdeau that kind of time, and he's going to find somebody open. Lo and behold, he found Duclair for the goal. Well, that's been one of the very, very rare occasions where UB's had a lot of time and space to operate. Usually it's like rush, and he's got guys on him. Right. And then the same thing for Barkov, who is anybody who knows me, and I've said this, nobody is a bigger fan than him, but he has to have that signature moment where he brings his game up and carries a team in the playoffs, and that has yet to happen. Because he's just a spectacular two-way player, but he needs to become dominant at some point offensively and not just, you know, doing little things.
All right, so let me ask you what I think might be maybe an interesting question, or maybe it's a terrible question, but I think it's kind of interesting, or it's maybe unanswered, or maybe you can answer it. Is Barkov and Huberdeau more Bam Adebayo than Jimmy Butler?
Well, you're putting my Heat knowledge of the test, and mind you, I'm a peripheral NBA watcher, so
the whole thing about Bam is we know he's super talented, we know he's a gifted defensive player, we know he has some offensive gifts, but we've been wanting him to take that next step forward to be a superstar, but that's not in him. He doesn't have that dog in him to want to, oh no, I got to take over, I got to score, I need the ball. Jimmy Butler is the most selfless.
No, correct. He's a bulldog.
But if you need him to be a bulldog, he's going to say, oh, you need me to score? I'll score. You need me to defend? I'll defend. You need me to facilitate? I'll facilitate. He's a son of a bitch when you need him to be a son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. Can Barkov and Huberdeau be sons of bitches? Because that's why the Heat are the Heat, because Jimmy Butler's a son of a bitch. And when I look at Barkov and Huberdeau, I see incredible talent, but I don't know if I see a son of a bitch.
No, and I don't know that they have that personality too. And if you look at the thing, very interesting, the NFLPA released a player poll asking who the best all-around player in the NHL is. Number one was Sidney Crosby. Number two was Barkov. And to me, the only difference I see between the two is Crosby's got a little nasty and dog in him.
Cut your throat out, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, and Barkey doesn't have that. And that's just his personality is like a mellow, laid back, really, really cool guy.
You're right.
But he needs to be a badass at some point on the ice. And Huberdeau's skill set's not quite as all around developed as Barkey's is.
He had an MVP like year this year. He did, bro.
But it's mostly offensive. He's just a dazzling offensive player, which is difficult to carry over into the playoffs. It can happen, but it's more difficult. Whereas Barkov's game is, he's brilliant everywhere on the ice. I wish he was just a little bit more of a badass.
Yeah.
And does he have it in him? That's a good question. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet.
All right. Did you go see practice?
Of course.
All right. So you told me you couldn't tell if Tua had more flexibility and more of an arm on that video from Nick, his trainer. I thought it looked like it. People said when they saw it, it looks like he's a little bit more mobile, maybe a little bit, a little more zip on the ball. Did you notice anything when you saw it
and,
now?
And yet you will have other guests on your show throughout the week, if they haven't already done so, tell you that there was a noticeable difference in the zip in his passes. I'm sorry. And I had this conversation with the gentleman I'm thinking of and telling him, I don't know what the hell you saw. It's the same guy. And there was some nice throws. I made that point. There were some nice throws in the practice. There was like the pass to Preston Williams to the left sideline was a really nice throw with great touch. And there was a pass to Gesicki over the middle. But I saw it portrayed as like a ball with a lot of zip. And sorry, no. I mean, it was a nice throw over the middle. I'm sorry. That's so. And it's
Omar thought he had a little more zip.
So you was it Omar? You disagree? Yeah,
it was Omar I was talking about. But it actually wasn't even the only one who said that. And I'm sorry. To me, it was the same thing. Now, having said all that, yeah, it was a good solid practice. But there's nothing I would make any definitive conclusions from. Regardless of the fact that it was a May practice, if I thought for a second that I saw a noticeable difference in the speed, the velocity with which the ball comes out of his hand, I absolutely would tell you, but I'd be lying if I said I saw anything like that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. By the way, you can always tell when somebody wins big. That person went crazy, bro. Hey, man, it's always fun to win some money, man. Hell, I'm getting excited right now watching Bitcoin go over 30,000. Anyway, so what else when you went to practice? Give me something else that stood out to you that you liked.
There was no
hitting or anything, so I can't look really too much into.
There's no hitting, and I saw like some tweets about the offensive line, the defensive line being dominating. I must have missed it. I've been watching the wrong place because I didn't see that. There wasn't a whole lot of team drills or 7-on-7 work, so it was kind of limited. I did like what I saw from Noah Igbinoghene, actually.
Whoa!
He had one play where he had a really nice pass breakup against Jaylen Waddle, and then he had another play where he kind of stood up where the play was away from him, where there was some blocking involved. I think it was on Hunter Long, and he kind of stood his ground. There was some pushing and shoving after the play, and I like to see that aggressiveness from him. And he's a guy that I certainly have hopes that he can, you know, develop and become something in his third year. Outside of that,
I always get frustrated with him because I think too many have been unfair with him and judging him when he hasn't played, bro. He needs to play so we can actually really see if he can develop into a player. I don't like judging these young cats when they haven't gotten enough of an opportunity. And that's the only thing I feel bad about Noah, is that too many have already passed judgment on him, and it's just absolutely unfair to pass any kind of judgment on that young man. Just is, in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I agree to a certain point, but the coaches have seen him for 2 years. So now this is a different set of eyes on him with Sam and Patrick Surtain, like working with the cornerbacks. And we'll see what they can do with him. But it certainly deserves another shot this year. This is a rookie first-round pick. You're not getting anything for him in the trade anyway, so there's no point in just dumping him. Let's see what he can do. Give him a long look. You don't need to see what X and Byron Jones can do in preseason games.
No.
So if they don't play us, and especially Byron Jones is recovering from off-season surgery, if he doesn't play it down in the preseason, doesn't bother me in the least. If X doesn't play it down in the preseason, doesn't bother me in the least. I would have no problem. In fact, I would like it if Noah Igbinoghene played full first half in the preseason opener, three quarters in the other two. Like, you give him a really long look. You know, truly, really try to get a feel for what you have. And outside of that, what's it not to me? Tyreek Hill is fast. not exactly breaking news here.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Connor Williams working a little center. You can't confirm, I guess.
I can tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. No, those are the rules. We're not allowed to report on lineups and where players lined up.
All right. So, but obviously experimentation is going on, which is what you're supposed to do right now at this point, is start experimenting so you can find out early on who's who and what's what.
I would expect that there's some of that going on.
Right. Yeah. I would
figure. How's that? How's that for a nebulous answer?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Listen, I already told him what was going on anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, yeah, it's fine. It is what it is, but I can understand you being there. You have to – yeah, you definitely have to answer it that way.
I don't have to like the rules. I'm playing by them. I don't have to like them, but I'm playing by them.
Right. Sony Michel looked good?
Didn't notice him, to be honest with you. I know, the kid, one carry
shape is what I'm saying.
I'm not
expecting anything from blocking or running or anything like
correct.
That. Sitting going on, dude. I mean, you know, what are we going to do?
But you want to see how they move, like, through the hole is one thing you want to see. And then there was, like a nice burst of that type, like my one by Miles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed had one, Chase Edmonds, don't believe would worked out. I don't even know if we even spotted him on Tuesday. And mind you, they've had three. Today was their third OTA, and we were allowed to watch the one on Tuesday, which is the pattern. So for the next 4 weeks is 3 weeks of OTAs. We get to watch one of the three of the 10 total, and then we have the 2-day mini camp, which we'll be allowed to watch. That's June 1st and 2nd.
Did you notice anything different on Gesicki where they were lining him up?
I probably couldn't tell you if I did. And
okay,
to be honest,
you can't tell me either, right? Yeah, that's right.
Tell you. I didn't.
That's right. Okay. All right. Were there experimentations at the tight end spot?
I didn't notice anything. I'll be very honest with you. I didn't notice.
Okay. Anything. All right. I'm just wondering if somehow or another they brought him a little closer to the line or something crazy like that. I'm just wondering. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I asked Omar this. I think it was Omar or maybe Marcel. I forgot which one earlier in the week. You notice anything with Gesicki body-wise? Because the last time we saw him on the podium, it looked like he was beefing up the arms a little bit. So
a lot.
Oh, a lot? Really?
No, that podium session was you want to use the word noticeable? There was a noticeable difference.
Right.
He looked like this. On the field, no. On the field, he looked back to where
– Okay.
Almost looked back to where he was before. So I did. Okay. There was nothing – that stood out to him physically. Like I saw him on the field. It wasn't like I had to do a double take. It's like, wait a second, is that Gesicki? It was clearly easy to spot him.
Okay. All right. And how about Hunter? What'd you see from him at all?
Other than that little, I don't want to use the word brouhaha or whatever, little pushing and shoving with Noah, nothing really noticeable from him.
Okay.
And in terms of his body, I didn't notice either. So he's somebody who certainly could use some more muscle.
I don't know if I got your thoughts on it on the Melvin Ingram signing.
Yeah, we spoke about it Monday. Love it.
Oh, we did? Okay. Yeah.
No, I almost got a little worried there for a second. I wonder why it took so long from the agreed to terms to officially sign the contract. But hey, worked out in the end. So, no, great.
He was probably traveling. Probably. He was probably in the middle of some kind of a vacation or something. Correct. They had to wait till he got back. And plus, he's probably not, you know, in that much of a hurry. Like, he agreed to the deal, but he doesn't have to rush to be down here because he's a vet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. OTAs, let me get there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I would imagine that's what's going on with JC Treader, that whatever offers are out there are kind of the same. And he's like, well, those offers will be out there in another month. I don't need to be, you know, at somebody's mini camp right now doing nothing whatsoever. That's not going to help me. So, yeah, I can imagine that Melvin Ingram isn't that pumped up. All right, what are you working on over at Sports Illustrated so folks can check you out, my friend?
Well, I'm gonna start like breaking down the schedule and specific parts of the schedule. So that's gonna be one thing. And then I'm gonna, after we hang up, I'm gonna resume working on something about this whole speed and this whole idea of a race between Tyreek and Waddle, and along with other thoughts and statistical nuggets on speed and some data.
Fox Sports needs to make this an event. Fox Sports Florida needs to get involved, get a couple sponsors involved, you know, do a little TV show for about a half hour. You talk it up good. You have the race. You have the interview with the winner. You have some fun. And that would be a killer half hour of just, you know, entertainment. Right there.
Yeah, well, don't. I'm not on board with that, but that's going to be part of what I'm going to write about. I do want to say also, and it's good that you have my Twitter handle on there, is I'm doing a mailbag this weekend. So looking for questions.
Send it in.
Right there. I've already put out the call for questions. I'm going to retweet the last call, the final call for questions for this week.
We've got some that are worried about your glasses. They're worried about the thickness of your glasses.
Yes.
Are you nearsighted is what they're asking.
I am horribly nearsighted. If without my glasses, I'm borderline blind. But my glasses are very good so that when I'm looking on the field, yes, I can see what's going on. For those who think that, oh, that explains why his takes are so stupid because he can't see anything. So, no, that's not my excuse. My excuse may be – for those who want to dump on my takes, that it would be strictly lack of football knowledge. It's not the glasses are not an excuse.
Oh, okay. Or maybe they're thinking you go by CFL rules. That's your Canadian.
Right? Exactly. I'm always wondering why the Dolphins aren't motioning offensive players toward the line of scrimmage.
Exactly.
At the snap, which is allowed in the NFL. So.
Yeah, you're standing around going, why is this end zone so small? Exactly. What the hell is going on? What happened to the 10 yards? You people are cheap here in America. You couldn't build the fields the right size? Come on.
And the most important question, why are the Dolphins never going for a rouge?
Yes.
Come on, what's going on here?
What's going on, bro? Come on, Super Bowl trophy. Grey Cup.
Grey Cup, there you go.
That's what it's all about, bro. That's what life is all about, the Grey Cup. Not a stinking Super Bowl trophy.
Actually, coldest in my life I've ever been was at a Grey Cup. Olympic Stadium in Montreal.
The Alouettes against who?
The Edmonton Eskimos.
There you go.
I was freezing. It was bad.
The EEs.
Yes, you are correct. And now they're the Edmonton Elks.
Oh, that's right. Yes, they did change their.
Yep.
Didn't somebody change to like the Red Blacks or something like that?
Yeah,
that's
Ottawa. Yeah.
Yes, right. From the Rough Riders to the Red Blacks, right? Yeah, is that what it is?
It used to be a league with. I don't even know if they might have gone back. I don't even know. But they used to be a team. This used to be a league with 9 teams, and 2 of them were Rough Riders.
Right.
It's like you ran out of nicknames, dude. Seriously.
With 9 teams, right?
Yeah.
It's like Hollywood. They can't come up with a new movie. They just got to repeat the old ones we don't know what new movies are. Let's just do a new Jaws.
There you go.
That's just the way it goes.
No, right. Jaws the Revenge. I mean, come on.
There you go. Now that was a classic right there. Baby. Yes.
That was rough.
That was good. That was, what's the dude's name that played with a bad Jamaican accent?
If you tell me Peebles,
Mario Peebles. Oh God, that was a terrible Jamaican accent, man. I wonder if Mario still regrets that to this day, going, God, I sound terrible like a Jamaican.
What a horrible movie.
Yeah, it was.
Horrible. Yeah, Michael Caine was in that movie too.
Yes. Yes. There are actually a couple of actors in that movie. Yeah, you're right. Yep. You're right about that. All right. Follow him on Twitter at @PoopHardNFL. Send in those questions. On the mailbag there at Poopard NFL, and make sure you bookmark that Sports Illustrated page so you can find out everything Miami Dolphins. Alan, as always, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
You got it. Have a great weekend.
There you go. Alan Poopard and our Sports Grill Miami Dolphins report.